We hear it a lot in Scripture. Rejoicing is what the angels do in heaven. Surrounding the very throne of God, they rejoice day and night, praising God and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is our God." Rejoicing is a part of being in the presence of God. Rejoicing is okay. Now, I suspect that you're Methodist, or maybe Presbyterian, or even Baptist, and you're 50 years old or older, you might have grown up in churches that didn't do a whole lot of rejoicing. Now they did rejoicing at my church, but they didn't do it in worship. I mean, I remember my grandmother's church. They had put on musicals. And I remember as a kid doing the Sound of Music and doing South Pacific and stuff like this. But you did that. You had that kind of fun and rejoicing in the fellowship hall. You didn't bring it into worship. I mean, you came into worship and you'd have thought you were at a funeral. You know, everybody was serious. And somebody would say, "Are you happy? Rejoice in the Lord." And they'd say, "Yes, I rejoice in the Lord. He is great and wonderful." Well, you know, that's just the times. That's the Methodist church I grew up in. Now, some of you grew up in other denominations that enjoyed yourself a little more in worship. But like I say, I think most of us who are 50 years old and older, that was the way you were at church. You're just real somber and you're serious and you don't want to offend God by acting like you're really alive. Now, do you think that's really what the Lord wants? Now, you know, that's the way I worship because that's the way I was taught. That's the way they did it at the church. But it seemed like church people had a good way of having fun almost any place else but worship. And that seemed peculiar to me, but I accepted it because that's the way they always did it. We've got this pink candle in our wreath for a reason. It's different for a reason. Used to, we called Advent the four Sundays prior to Christmas, the little Lent, a time of penance. And penance is saying, "God, I'm sorry for not being as good as I ought to have been. And I've sinned a lot and I've done a lot of bad things." And you're supposed to be sad and somber. And a few years, liturgically, we changed from purple to blue to make it different from Lent. And to move away from the penance and the sorrow, although we need to be sorry for our sins, to move towards anticipating the joy of God's coming. But even when we had purple candles, we still had the pink candle. Why? Because on the third Sunday of Advent, going back to ancient times, it was designated as God's Day, joy. This is the Sunday of joy. We're supposed to have joy in our lives. Joy in our hearts because of Jesus Christ. And it's okay to rejoice in the Lord when we get together and worship. Now, we're not doing it right now in the Advent season, but our praise team is about bringing some joy into the life of our church. It's about having some moments before we begin worship to experience the joy and excitement of what God is doing in Christ Jesus. We need more joy in our lives. I don't know about you, but I need more joy in my life. And I know some of you find joy when you're not at church. So why shouldn't we celebrate a little bit of joy when we gather together in God's house? This is a time to rejoice. When we come together in Jesus Christ, our hearts ought to be filled with joy. You know, when little kids are excited and filled with joy, and they've been looking forward to something, and you tell them, we're going to go to Disneyland, what kind of response do you get? Oh, gee, that's really great, Mom. Dad, I'm glad we're going. No, you don't get that kind of response. You get this, we're going to Disneyland. Really going? Their whole body is just filled with jumping up and down joy. Now, when God sent His Son into the world to be our up and down joy in our lives, I think so. And I think Scripture tells us so. I put together some scriptures. I pulled them out of the computer so I wouldn't have to be flipping and finding them all. But, the angels proclaimed in Luke 2, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. Even John the Baptist talked about the joy that he had because he said that his place to announce the coming of the Messiah was like the best friend of the bridegroom, who is happy for his best friend, that when he unites with the bride, and that's the church. And he was telling his disciples, who were getting a little jealous of Jesus and his disciples, and saying, well, they're baptizing just like you are, John. He's preaching just like you are. And John says, don't worry about it. You know, I'm supposed to decrease, he's supposed to increase, and my joy is complete in that. He was overjoyed that the Messiah had come into the world, and he wanted his disciples to be overjoyed, and he sent his disciples to follow this man, Jesus. And then Jesus speaks to us time and time again in the 15th, 16th, and 17th chapters of John. Hear what Jesus has to say to us. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. You obey my commands. You will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Have I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy be complete? Jesus wants us to experience the joy of God in our hearts and lives. Then in John 16, he shares these words. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take your joy. I've counseled with people through the years in the life of the church, and they let other people in the church take away their joy. They let people steal the joy of God with gossip. They do it with slander. They do it with just opening their mouths and saying unfriendly things to one another. They feel like God's appointed them to criticize everything in the life of the church, and they steal away people's joy. But Jesus says, the joy I give you, don't you dare let other people steal away your joy. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. I came that your life might be filled with joy. And I tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ, there'll always be someone around who'll try to steal your joy, but you just don't let them do it. Because Jesus said, your joy will be complete and it'll always be with you if you put your eyes on Him. We live in a cruel world. I mean, ridiculous, disgusting things happen to people just like this sister back here. And you go in one day to substitute teach and somebody comes in there and starts a fight, starts slapping around kids and pushing around the teacher. That's not a happy world. All you've got to do is pick up a newspaper and you see things that make you want to lock yourself in your house and never go out again. But Jesus came to overcome those kinds of things in the world. He came that we might have an inner joy in our lives. And when we get together to celebrate in the life of the church, we need to experience the joy of the Lord. Now, I think for some people, like me, who grew up in a church that you didn't express a lot of joy in worship, you have to grow into that. It's not an easy thing to do. But you know, if you just open up your heart a little bit, if you just listen to the words of music and the things people share in the joy of our heart, it'll change our lives. We don't have to go around where what we say we believe in is contradicted by the sad expression on our faces. When we come and worship the God we have in Christ Jesus, there ought to be joy in our hearts. There ought to be smiles on our faces. And you know, every once in a while, we ought to have that kind of jumping up and down joy of a little child. It's okay to rejoice. And don't you ever let people steal that from you. Because it's given by a sacrifice on Calvary. That you can have it for now and for eternity in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, some of us come from backgrounds where we didn't have a lot of joy in worship, and it might even be strange to us. I know it was strange to me as I learned it. But you led me into places where I experienced so much joy through other people that it overcame my discomfort. And I started being renewed by the joy and the enthusiasm I heard in others. Lord, in a world that would try to beat us down, we need a little joy when we come into your house. We need celebration. We need to rejoice. We need to do what Paul says in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Help us always to rejoice in you, Father. For you have given us a great gift in Christ Jesus. And we need to express that joy and share it with others. We ask your blessings upon our rejoicing. In Jesus' name, amen.